Nevertheless, we're going to talk about carbon this morning. And so, looking at carbon concentration and transport of small watersheds, and I can recognize my co-author, Martin Cipitalo. This was conducted at a small research station, USDA ARS research station near Coshocton, Ohio. And the objectives were to evaluate sediment carbon concentration and transport on an event basis and relate to factors of runoff amount, sediment transport, and the amount of dissolved carbon in each event. We have a pasture area of about 17 hectares in which we rotate the cattle through four pastures during the summertime, and then one of them is where the cattle are retained during the wintertime and hay is brought in to feed them there. So during the growing season from May to October, we have a beef cow-calf herd which are rotated weekly and through these four paddocks. And 56 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare were applied each year for 5 years, and then we increased that to 168 kilograms a hectare per year. And that was split in three equal applications during the growing season. And we had 25 cow-calf units and then 30 cow-calf units when we increased the nitrogen fertilization. During the dormant season, the calves were weaned and the cows were put into the winter paddock. And then this paddock was about 3.1 hectares, with a small watershed of 1.1 hectares within that. This is a picture in March showing the winter, summer grazing plus winter feeding area on the left, and then one of the three summer grazing pastures on the right. And you can see the difference in vegetative cover there. And we took some measurements and have shown that during that winter period, particularly in the March period, we can get down to as low as 20% vegetative cover. And so needless to say that a lot of bare soil because of that. But it does come back, and you can see that by the 1st of June and soon after that, we have a near 100% cover, and we can continue the rotation even on the winter grazing and winter feeding area. Here, for instance, is a picture sort of the same area, same view, with the taken in June. And so you see how that had recovered from that time of nearly so much bare soil. Our water collection at the watersheds, we have an H flume. And then a Coshocton wheel, the H flume always measures the amount of volume of water coming off, and a Coshocton wheel takes a proportional sample of that liquid, plus what is in that liquid. And so we have a sediment, we can take 100 milliliters of that liquid coming off, get the sediment concentration, multiply it times the total volume, and come up with a total sediment load for that event. This is done over a 10-year period from November 78 to October 88, and even though I published on seasonal values for this, it's the first time I got around looking at the actual individual sediment, individual event values for sediment coming off. During that 10-year period, we had 378 runoff events from that watershed in the winter feeding area. 115 of those events had sediment concentrations or sediment amounts greater than 2 kilograms per hectare, so less than a third of those had that amount. And those events had 98% of the total sediment coming off. In 88, we changed our management practice where we no longer had winter feeding, and so our sediment rates were very low after that. And as we heard earlier with the phosphorus loss from manure applied in Wisconsin, it's the big events that have all the action and carry the loads. And so sediment loss is greater than 1,000 kilograms per hectare, only 6 events in 10 years. That's 6 out of 375 events, only about 1.5% of the total events were that large. Yet they transported nearly half of the total sediment, and nearly half of the sediment attached carbon. On a monthly basis, you can see most of that is lost in this time period when they have lost the ground cover and has not grown back the recovered from that. So certainly April is their biggest month for sediment loss. Likewise, it's the biggest month for sediment carbon loss. There's tremendous variability, and here again that comes back to our weather patterns. Winter can vary considerably, and so depending on what kind of year we have, but you can see we average about 2,600 kilograms per hectare of sediment loss, but it ranged from 32 to 11,000 over that time period. Average sediment attached carbon loss, about 140 kilograms per hectare per year, but it ranged from 1.5 to over 600. Likewise, soluble TOC loss had a range of 1.8 to over 500. And might notice that the soluble TOC loss really is a similar quantity on an annual average basis to that in the attached sediment attached carbon. this shows that there really is no correlation between the sediment carbon concentration and the sediment loss. So you can have a high concentration of carbon with low amount of sediment and vice versa. There's really no correlation there. Sediment carbon loss versus the total organic carbon loss, the soluble, is a strong correlation. So if you're going to have high carbon loss attached to the sediment, you're probably also going to have large amounts of soluble loss, soluble carbon loss as well. On the event flow basis, the event flow is very poorly correlated with the sediment concentration or sediment carbon concentration, and likewise with the soluble TOC concentration. For sediment loss, the amount of event sediment transport is strongly correlated with the sediment carbon loss and also with the soluble TOC loss. It's interesting to note that sediment ratios, the sediment carbon concentrations were 1.2 to 1.5 times the concentration in the soil, the 0 to 2.5 layer, and had very similar kind of ratios with crop soils from our nearby watersheds. And as I've seen in some other posters, other presentations, the sediment seed concentration from pastures is about 54 grams per kilogram. And realizing that, and compare that to the pastures, or the crop soil, have a range of less than half of that. And so it's one more indication that we can have more carbon stored in the soils from pasture than what we do in row crops. But that's another presentation. In summary, constant wintering of a beef herd, like in a sacrifice area, decreases vegetative cover and increases surface runoff, sediment loss, and carbon loss, both sediment-attached carbon and the TOC loss. Soluble TOC loss. Concentration of sediment, sediment C, and soluble TOC are not correlated at all or very well correlated with event flow. Loss of sediment carbon and soluble TOC are strongly correlated with sediment loss. So in conclusion, to reduce loss of sediment C and soluble TOC, we need to reduce sediment loss. To try to come up with management practice to reduce the sediment concentrations, sediment carbon concentrations, would not be effective. It needs to be an actual loss of a reduction of sediment. And so rotational wintering would be a management option to reduce sediment loss. And obviously that would take a few more acres than a sacrifice lot, but you would not have that vegetative cover loss. You would not have the sediment loss and the sediment carbon loss. Thank you.
Questions?
Yeah.
So, Lloyd, these watersheds over time have been fairly intensively monitored, and kind of going back to the phosphorus, did you guys measure phosphorus in some of that runoff over time? Would there be any value in correlating some of the soluble TOC with some of the phosphorus to look and see whether there's any relationships?
There probably is some value to that. I have not done that, so I can't address that off the top of my head. But we do have those data, and so we can do that anyway. Yes?
Is carbon loss with runoff or sediment and carbon loss in gaseous phase, are they comparable?
Carbon loss from
in the gaseous phase, are they comparable?
We did not do any gaseous losses, so I really cannot address that. Gaseous losses of carbon are something that we don't have the equipment to get into, and so we have not addressed that, but certainly that is a pathway of loss, no question about that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.